Father, we thank Thee for the privilege we have to meet once again in the house of God with the Word of God, and trusting the Spirit of God will work in our hearts as we open the Scripture. We thank Thee for all of the Word of God and this portion as well. Help us to learn the lessons that You have for us tonight through the Scripture. We thank Thee for each one here. Pray that You'll meet the needs of each of us. Thank Thee for the good report concerning Brother Vassar. We pray that You'll continue to bless there and bless all of us, help us to grow spiritually this year as we're anticipating the new year. Pray that You'll bless this service now as well, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we have then his prayer found in verse 24 and 25. And notice there in 25 that you can sense the pathos, you might say, of Moses, as he's crying out to the Lord, "I pray thee," he says, "let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon." Here he's pleading with the Lord in this prayer. And now Moses is the one who's writing this. And then he has to write in verse 26, "But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter." All right, so here we see the Lord's response to this prayer of regret. This prayer of regret. Now, in Deuteronomy is when Moses is at the end of the 40 years, and the Jews are getting ready to go into the Promised Land, so he writes this shortly before they go in. So this is an account at the end of the 40 years, the 40-year wandering. And if you look back here in Exodus, for instance, Exodus 17, as we start to get into this message, in Exodus chapter 17, we see this account occurs at the beginning of their wanderings in the wilderness, about 38 years prior to this prayer. So in Exodus 17, people murmured for water. There in verse 1, Exodus 17, 1. And Moses says in verse 4, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be all most ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river," that's the Nile River, "take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So here at the beginning of the wilderness wanderings, the Lord tells him, smite the rock. He does it, water comes out. And can you imagine that? Water out of a rock. But this is how they were, how the Lord took care of these 3 million people in the wilderness regularly. I mean, this is the wilderness, get the idea. 3 million people. In other words, the Bible depicts this as the extremes. 3 million people, that's the population of Connecticut, remember that? 3 million people, they need to be fed and given water supply every day. So can you imagine what the water bill would be for Connecticut per day? But the Lord was meeting that need, and it came out of the water, out of the rock in this case. And so here at the outset of their journeys, he tells them in this case, smite the rock, and the water came out. Now, we will look at another passage here at the end of Moses' journey with them and see the tragedy that happened here. But here we find Moses' prayer of regret. Now, I'm going to jump over here to Numbers chapter 20 just for a moment. We'll come back to this and expound it more in detail, but Numbers chapter 20, it gives us the account in 20 verse 11, well, 20 verse 8, the Lord again, they're in the desert of Zin now, and this is verse 1, 20 verse 1, and 20 verse 8, the Lord says, take thy rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock. Tells them to talk unto the rock. It shall give forth his water. But instead, we see in verse 11, Scripture says that Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. He smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses there, and because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. So here we see the background of Moses' prayer. 38 years later, he smites the rock with a rod. Water comes out. He smites it twice. The first time he smote it once. Here he smites it twice. And God takes away great privilege because he disobeyed the Lord. Now, how old was Moses at the end of this 40-year period? He was 120. He was at the end of his life. At the end of his life. And loses out on the great privilege and blessing that he had so sought for these 40 years and was a leader taking the children of Israel to the promised land with the hope of getting in, and he loses all of that. Think of that. Here's his prayer of regret. You're getting the magnitude of the regret in his heart of what he did when he disobeyed. He lost so much. Now, we're going to come back to this, but I want to look here in a couple of New Testament passages. Let's look in 2 John. 2 John chapter 1, of course. 2 John 1. But here John warns, saying in 1:8, 2 John 1:8, he says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, that's really a very sober passage, isn't it? He's saying to some church congregation, look to yourselves that we, including John, lose not those things which we have wrought or done, the service for the Lord that we've done, but that we receive a full reward. So, in other words, believers can lose out on their reward when they sin against the Lord. See how sober this is? And that sin can come at any time. That rebellion can come at any time, as it did in Moses' life, right at the end of his life, and he lost out on something that was very dear to him. This is why we call this his prayer of regret. His prayer of regret. Take another illustration in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we have Demas, of course you realize with him, but Demas here, and followed the Lord. Here Paul's at the end of his ministry, and Demas had been with Paul a good part of his ministry from the time of going through Thessalonica and following. But in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, notice what he has to say about Demas. So Paul is at the end of his ministry. Demas had been with him for some time, all the way from the time he started the Thessalonian church, which was early, maybe around A.D. 50. This may be 15 years later, around A.D. 65. And he says in verse 10, 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. So here is a believer, a professed believer. He gets out of the will of God in the end, and forsakes the Lord. So you see, these are sober thoughts, and this is the background for this prayer that we have with Moses. Now, let's go back to a passage here in Deuteronomy chapter 3, 24 and 25, especially in 25. I want to focus on several points that I believe are apparent in the passage. And first of all, we want to notice his request. His request. So here, the request is very clear in verse 25. I pray thee, he's asking the Lord, let me go over to see the good land that is beyond Jordan. This is very specific. Very specific prayer requests that he lays out here. Now, he preempts the request here with verse 24. Notice here he says, concerning the Lord, he brings out two characteristics of the Lord. He says, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness. That's interesting as well. Thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness. I mean, he's only 120 years old. The Lord had begun. So in other words, he was learning the greatness of the Lord through his whole life, you see. And he makes that claim, the Lord is great, and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? And so he talks about the Lord's greatness there, and then he talks about the Lord's goodness in verse 25. And see, the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain. So here's the good land. The Lord is great. He's got good land. And Moses is very specific about asking the Lord to fulfill this prayer request. So we see, first of all, the reason. Excuse me, the request. Secondly, we want to look at the reason. The reason. Now, this takes us back to Numbers, so I want to focus now on Numbers for a few minutes. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. And I read part of this already, but Numbers chapter 20, this occurs at a different time and a different place than our Exodus 17 passage. Numbers 20, they were without water in the wilderness of Zin, and the Lord, as I mentioned there in verse 8, tells him to take the rod, but speak to the rock. Now, it's very clear, speak ye unto the rock for their eyes. Now, notice in verse 10, which I didn't read, some significant points that show us the heart of Moses. And verse 10 says, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together. Now, notice Moses and Aaron were working as a team. Of course, Aaron was his brother. Gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? All right, now here, Moses and Aaron, they gather them together. And then Moses does the speaking here. And he first of all calls them rebels. Well, this was a legitimate name. For 40 years they rebelled against the Lord. Certainly the first generation did. And Moses was leading a group of 3 million rebels, basically. And for 40 years. So there was some, probably some weariness in him at 120 now. And so he calls them rebels. Of course, this is what the Lord called them. But Moses called them rebels as well. But secondly, notice what he says there. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Wait a minute, all of a sudden it's we, me and Aaron. Me and Aaron, we're the ones that are bringing forth this water. And we have to do it again. We have to do it again. So first of all, we notice they disdained the people. Secondly, they declared the power. It's we. We're the ones. Must we fetch you the water out of the rock? You see, this is significant because quite often, and even in local churches, people get to think that it's what they're doing. Now, we're co-laborers with the Lord. It's what the Lord is doing through us. It's not what we're doing. It's not my ministry in that sense. And this is what I've done. And I've got turf relative to my ministry. And don't you mess with my ministry. This is my ministry. This is what I'm doing. And that's what the Lord does through us, you see. But here they got the pronoun out of place here. Must we fetch you the water? Nobody can bring water out of a rock other than the Lord. They weren't doing it. But you see, they in their attitude, and they had an attitude here, apparently, and it's manifested, first of all, as they disdained the people. They're rebels. Secondly, they declared the power. as our, par, as we, and then thirdly, they disobeyed the Lord. And this is really the significant thing, because in verse 11, in their anger, and although they may have had righteous anger to a certain degree, when the righteous anger was undermined by disobedience, it stopped being righteous anger. And so the Lord said what back there in verse 8? Speak. Well, that's a simple verb, isn't it? Speak ye. Speak ye into the rock. But what did they do? Instead, they smote. Instead of speaking, they smote. They smote the rock, and they smote it twice. Twice would indicate their anger. So, basically, they were upset with the Lord. And being upset with the Lord, they disobeyed the Lord. And disobeying the Lord and being upset with Him and out of fellowship with Him, then they were out of fellowship with the people. And then they claimed the power for themselves. And here we see this is the magnitude of their sin. The magnitude of their sin. This was an egregious sin against the Lord. And because they did this, they lost out on so much. So here we see the reason. Their heart was not right with the Lord in serving the Lord. Now, excuse me. We like to think that as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we get older in the Lord, there'll be someday in this lifetime, as I grow older in the Lord, I'll come to a place where I will sin. No, that doesn't happen. In fact, the situation is, as we grow in the Lord, we have more for which to give an account. And when we do sin, the sin is more egregious towards the Lord than earlier. And there's greater loss when we sin as an older saint than as a younger. Greater loss on our part. And so here we see the reason was given. The Lord was upset with them because as they were ministering to the Lord, their heart wasn't right with the Lord. And this is easy to get into. It's easy to get into ministering for the Lord with your heart wrong towards the Lord. It happens all the time in independent Baptist churches. I can tell you it happens all the time. I've been involved in that, and so have you. We all have been involved in trying to serve the Lord with a heart not right with the Lord. We know it happens. Now, let's don't leave verse 11 yet, because notice Moses sinned. But nevertheless, in sinning against the Lord, water came out of the rock. Water did come out of the rock, right? Even though he went about the wrong way. He smote the rock twice rather than speaking to it, and he still got results. That must mean that pragmatism works. Pragmatism works. That's kind of an obvious thing. Pragmatism works. But that's the way some people operate their ministry. If it works, it's biblical. He got the water even though he was disobedient to the Lord. And some churches think that because we have results, it doesn't matter how we go get the results, as long as we get the results. And this is wrong. This is wrong. And so he got results. He got the water. That's what he wanted. And so there might be the mindset then, and that is, well, Moses, just smite the rock every time. We'll always get water. And it doesn't matter how you get it, as long as we get our water. But what matters is getting the water the right way, doing things the biblical way rather than the unbiblical way. And there are churches around here and places around the world that have results on a regular basis, but you look at what they're doing and you have to say what they're doing is so obviously unbiblical, and yet there seems to be results. Why is that? Well, here's an example of Moses getting results, but there are consequences to that. And the consequences fall on those who know, especially the leadership. And so this is a very sober passage. So we've seen the request, we see the reason. Now let's notice the rejection. Let's turn to Deuteronomy again, this time in chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. And Deuteronomy 32 gives some more details. Verses 50. Or we'll start 49. Let's look at 49. So 32, 49. Get thee up unto the mountain of Abarim and the mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. So up here on this mountain, it's not in the promised land, but it can look over into the promised land. And the Lord says in verse 50, and die. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Merab Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I give unto the children of Israel. So here's the Lord's rejection of him. He sinned against the Lord. And so the Lord tells him to go up there and die because he's transgressed and he's not going to be able to get into the land. So we've seen the request, the reason for the denial and the rejection. And so here is his prayer of regret. Now, all of us, no doubt, have regrets. And we look back over life and we would say, I regret doing this, I regret that, and so on. And so there's not a person that doesn't have regrets for what some of the things that they've done. And we say, I wish I had things over and I would do things differently. But what we can do is avoid today doing things that are going to bring regret to us in the future. We can't undo the past, but we can take care of the present for our coming future so that we don't have further regrets. And we do that by living for the Lord, obeying the Scripture, trying to follow the Word of God and living for the Lord, being filled with the Spirit of God and so on, so that we don't live a life of regret. And especially for you young people, you don't want to do things that are going to bring regret in your life later on. So you need to say, what am I doing today? Is this going to bring me regret? And so Moses had had this regret in his life. Now, let's notice what the psalmist said about all this. Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Psalm 106 gives a summary of the Jewish nation. And verse 32 and 33 gives a summary. It says, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. So his spirit, that would be Moses. So this is kind of a summary, but this gives us more commentary on the passage in Numbers 20, and that he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. How did he do that? Well, first of all, he didn't speak to the rock, but he didn't speak to the people. When he spoke to the people, he called them rebels. And he sinned with his mouth, and he said, we are the ones bringing forth the water. So he spoke ill unadvisedly with his lips and sinned against the Lord. So this psalm, probably by David, centuries later, gives a commentary on what he had done, and no doubt brings out the regret of Moses. So here we see the tragedy of Moses and his prayer. And certainly not a prayer that we want to pray, but there are some things that have certainly lasting consequences. And so when we sin against the Lord And now we're facing the consequences. We can't ask him in prayer to take away the consequences. There are consequences that follow sin. So rather than being in this situation with Moses, why not avoid the sin? Why not avoid the thing that's going to bring about the regret later on? Now, the Lord is good. The Lord is gracious. It's interesting in what we're going to look at here in just a minute. But did the Lord ever let Moses in the land? Well, let's look here in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we have the transfiguration account, and we're told here in Luke chapter 9, verse 27, the Lord says to the inner group there, Peter, James, and John, I tell you the truth, there be some standing here, we shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. It came about 8 days after these, Scripture tells us that they went to pray. And as they prayed, verse 29, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood, that word stood with him. It looks like here Moses stood in the land. 1,500 years later, the Lord is gracious. He didn't get to stand in the land in his natural body, but he did get to stand in the land 15 centuries later. So we see the grace of the Lord, but nevertheless, the Lord's judgment on him while he was alive was that he would not go into the land in his natural body, and he didn't get to go. So, several themes there. The Lord deals with believers. By the way, Moses never lost his salvation. We don't lose our salvation. Saved once, saved forever. But he did lose out on blessings because of the sin for which he regretted, and yet the Lord in his grace did allow him to momentarily stand in the land and 1,500 years later. And so we see several significant truths here, but the big truth that we want to make sure of is that how do we avoid a prayer like this? When we ask specifically for something and the Lord says, no, I'm not going to answer that prayer because you have disobeyed me. Well, the simple solution is don't disobey the Lord so that we don't have these prayers of regret. That's the simple solution. Obey the Lord. Live for Him. Do right. and we can see the blessing of the Lord upon us. All right?